This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast. A new episode available each week at thehollywoodoutsider.com, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or your podcast app of choice. I'm Aaron Peterson. I'm going to be your host for a special episode of The Hollywood Outsider. As our loyal listeners know, every once in a while we like to bring you interviews with independent filmmakers to give you insight into what goes into getting their film made, as well as insight into the respective film itself. The Sabbatical follows James Pittman, played by James Whittingham, as a professor who is forced to produce a photography book on his year off. Publisher perish, as they say. With his wife busy working on a project of her own and his best friend submerged in family life, he makes fast friends with a carefree artist named Lucy, who's played by Laura Abramson. We then follow James as he struggles to keep up with a much younger friend in Lucy, and a midlife crisis of sorts kind of sets in. The Sabbatical is a quirky indie comedy that has a snarky curmudgeon leading the way, but it has a witty, charming, supporting character in Lucy. And the whole film becomes witty and charming in its own way as you grow to appreciate both characters as they learn a little bit more about each other and they learn to kind of open up themselves in ways that never expected. Especially James. He really learns his place in life and where he is in his life with him, his wife, which is a great relationship, by the way. And it's all kicked into action because of his relationship with Lucy. You can watch The Sabbatical when it releases on video on demand July 13th, 2017. That's July 13th, 2017. But right now, take a listen as I talk to the director of the film, Brian Stockton. We discuss his journey in Saskatchewan and getting this film made, why a midlife crisis is a story he wanted to tell, touring his film in festivals, and a whole lot more. You can find out more information at thesabbaticalmovie.com. That's thesabbaticalmovie.com. And once again, hits video on demand July 13th. Without further ado, take a listen to my interview with the director of The Sabbatical, Brian Stockton. Hey, Brian.
Oh, hello.
First off, the first thing I ask anybody is, when did you know you wanted to be a filmmaker? Was there a moment in your life?
Yeah, I'm one of those kids when I was 11, started making Super 8 films. So, pretty early for me. I suppose it takes a while before you figure out that that's your career. But yeah, it was there since I was a kid for sure.
I mean, looking through your career, you've literally done it all. You're director, writer, cinematographer, animator, actor. That's a hell of a journey. Where did you originally want to go? Was there a particular side of the camera you wanted to be at specifically?
Yeah, I suppose writing and directing was always the focus, but I think it was just a natural progression from, doing it yourself as a kid when you're 11. You obviously, kind of do everything yourself. Mm-hmm. And then as I grow older and grew up, I kind of just kept doing that. Maybe not even necessarily by design, but I live in a smaller city in the Canadian prairies, and there's a very small film community here, so there isn't necessarily a huge pool of people to draw on and work with. So I just kind of kept on that path of doing pretty much everything myself.
Was it the typical, you grew up making your own movies and you just decided to go to Hollywood? What was your journey like?
Yeah, no, I'm still here. I'm still in Saskatchewan in Canada, the middle of the prairies, kind of the middle of nowhere.
Oh, really?
I've spent time in Toronto, but this is a, very small town Canadian production. This is not, L.A. in any way. So, I've managed to kind of do it here out of my hometown.
Is there a big difference from doing it the Hollywood way, going to L.A. and doing that, versus Canadian production, versus making them in Saskatchewan?
Yeah, Canadian production is, it's always a bit odd, and it's always a bit weird to describe to Americans because we tend to work on much, much smaller budgets. There's a lot of government support for film here, which is quite great, but that, has its own sort of downsides as well. But I suppose the good thing is if you're kind of an auteur filmmaker, it tends to give you a fair amount of freedom to do what you want. There isn't a huge, studio heads or executives generally are not looking over your shoulder.
Well, that's nice. So tell me about The Sabbatical. It began as an idea. Were one of you guys having a midlife crisis at the time, or what prompted the idea of The Sabbatical?
Yeah, sure. Well, I think my midlife crisis is kind of ongoing. it's a never ending thing. But me and my friends, we're all at that point where, you're kind of on the back nine, as it were. And myself, I now teach. I teach film production at the University of Regina. And so I'm constantly surrounded by young kids all the time. And I get older, but you're always getting new students. And so they kind of stay the same age. And so it's impossible not to think about how you're getting older all the time and, kind of comparing yourself to the younger generation. So it really came out of that experience for sure.
Now, this is a combination of several of you, right, that kind of put this story together. Did you guys come together and decide who was having the most extreme crisis at the moment, or how did that culmination work?
Yeah, it's a mixture of things. I mean, because I teach film production, I actually worked with a bunch of my students on this as well. So there was a couple of promising young screenwriting students who kind of got together with me, and we kind of came up with the initial idea. And then I brought in James Whittingham, who's the star of the film, and he and I are old ones. So, you know, that kind of bent to the story definitely comes from our perspective as middle-aged guys. But it's always that process of throwing different ideas around. And it ended up to be maybe not as autobiographical as we thought it might be initially, because we really wanted to go for the comedy. And I realized that my life really isn't that interesting or funny. So it's an exaggeration of what maybe might have happened to somebody like me.
So James Whittingham, he's involved in the story, like you said, but did you always know he was the one you wanted for James Pittman?
Oh, absolutely, for sure. He's basically an old friend of mine, and he's a great comic actor, but he'd never been in a feature film before. He'd never been the lead. So that was just something I really wanted to do with him. I figured he could pull it off. And we'd made a short film previously, about a 5-minute film, that was comedy and it was improvised, and that went really well. So the two of us kind of thought, well, you know, let's give this a shot as a feature. We think, you know, we thought it was going to work, and it did.
So why photography versus just an author? I that was kind of an interesting choice. And I think I expected going in, it was going to be a writer that it was working on his manuscript or a novel. And instead of it's a book of photography. Why was that the inspiration for you guys?
Yeah, well, the first idea was that he would be a film production professor, which is what I am and what I do. And that seemed a little bit, you know, too on the nose. There was just something about photography that makes it more visual. I think it's always difficult to tell a story just about somebody who's a writer who's working at their typewriter. But yeah, if we make it photography, that means that we can, you know, add the visual element to it. Plus, where I teach, we have a nice dark room, and I knew that would make a great location for the film. You know, I like that idea of, you know, processing film in a dark room with the, you know, the orange light. So we figured overall it would be a great, you know, visual thing for a film.
Were you big in photography? I mean, were you into photography personally, or is it just the story element?
Oh, yeah. It's like filmmaking has always been my primary thing. But yeah, photography has always been a huge part of my life. I started, you know, developing my own film and prints when I was in high school. And I teach it now. I teach darkroom photography. Yeah, it's never been my focus, but it's always been something I do for sure.
Well, then let me ask you, since you're into both, because they are similar endeavors, but they're not really the same. What's the difference between, you know, framing a shot for a film as opposed to framing a shot for a photo?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, because I think it's always a bit of a mystery. Like, I think you have filmmakers who can frame a great shot, but then the really great filmmakers know how to frame it in terms of motion as well, in terms of time. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's something I can really describe, but I don't, for some reason, Jane Campion comes to mind, like somebody who really, you know, understands it from a photographic compositional standpoint, but how it plays out over time. I don't know. It's a hard thing to describe.
So do you teach your students basically which filmmakers are close to you? Do you teach them when you're making this movie, how do they get involved in the actual process of filmmaking, I guess? I mean, how do they help you with this movie?
Yeah, well, a lot of them worked on the film. Like, it's a very low budget movie. So it made sense to hire my students or, you know, the recent graduates, because you don't have to pay them as much. But for most of them, it was their first credit on a feature film. So I think they were, you know, mostly glad to do it for kind of not a huge amount of pay. I love working with students. Like, it's on the one hand, like I said, it always reminds me of how old I am, because they're always so, you know, young. But that youthful energy is, I don't know, it's a bit of a cliche, but it rubs off on you. And it's, you know, they're not cynical yet. And that's really great to be around, because, you know, my middle-aged friends are mostly pretty cynical by now. So it's nice to get that youthful perspective. And you know, they're still excited about filmmaking, which is great.
Most of mine are too. Don't feel bad. So Laura Abramson is a delight. I mean, she's really delightful as Lucy. What about her stood out? What made you say she's the right one for this part?
Yeah, she's absolutely amazing. Well, basically, we auditioned just a few people for that role, and she was the one that just stood out. And we did the auditions improvised, and Laura's not necessarily trained in improv. I mean, she's a classically trained actor, but improv was never something she did a lot of. So, I think she was nervous about that, but she just totally stood out. Like, you know, we looked at the tape afterwards, and she just comes off great. Everything she came up with in the improv was great, and you know, she's just comfortable on camera with the on film. She just looks amazing. So, and she was a theater student at the time that we did that. So it was sort of a nice sort of kind of graduating project for her.
That's interesting. What made you decide to do improv auditions versus scripted?
Well, the whole film was made improv. It's just something that my style has kind of evolved to over the years. I just seem to work best that way. So we came up with an outline for the whole film. So each scene kind of had a one paragraph description, but the plan was always to improvise the film and to shoot a bunch and then cut and then shoot some more and cut and shoot some more. It's just a better process for me. It's, you know, writing a really great feature film script is incredibly difficult. And I just didn't want to write a script that I was maybe not totally happy with. And then you're kind of married to it. So the idea was, improv it and kind of change it as we need it. It meant the editing process was pretty long and kind of involved and kind of difficult, but, you know, we just kept working on it until it seemed right.
So basically you set up a scene, you tell them, here's where we need to end up with the scene and here's where we're starting with the scene. And then they would just improv the rest of it?
Absolutely. Yeah. We would just kind of, we would know the goals for the scene. And, you know, we would often do like a master shot. We'd do like 8 or 9 takes of a master shot. And through that process, we'd kind of figure out where everything needed to go. And then we would, you know, cut in for close-ups and coverage and stuff. And by that point, it was kind of like the scene was scripted. Like they would tend to say the same things after a while. I don't know if anyone else works that way, but that's what seemed to work for me.
That's fascinating. Honestly, that's very impressive. I've heard of improv films. I don't know many that have been completely improv. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, and I never wanted it to look like an improv film, too. So
it doesn't.
Most people are quite surprised when I tell them that it is. But, you know, we wanted the camera, you know, locked off and steady. We didn't want to do shaky cam stuff. We didn't want everybody kind of repeating lines, which happens a lot in improv. So, you know, improv, but we tried to keep a tight ship so it didn't feel that way. And hopefully it works. I think it has a nice fresh quality about it, I think, because of the way we did it.
Well, I still have my surprise face on, so I think it worked.
Great.
One thing I wanted to comment on, this is more of a comment. I really felt like the marriage was genuine. I mean, it sounds goofy, but it's never too loving. It's never too harsh. It really just felt like marriage.
Yeah, thanks. That relationship and that sort of story arc really was fun for us, too, because it ended up being a lot more prominent than we kind of initially planned it to be. Because the scenes just worked so well. Like the chemistry between them was so great. Mm-hmm. It, you know, we realized he needed that anchor. Yeah, the chemistry between James and Bernadette is just amazing. Yeah, it worked out great.
Now, let me ask you a question. So you made the movie. Movie came out, very fun movie, by the way. I'm not exaggerating. I had no idea it was all improv. But you get the movie made, and it's had kind of its own journey. It's been playing in festivals, and it's finally now being released on video on demand July 13th. So for our audience, can you kind of elaborate on what that journey has been like for you as an independent filmmaker?
Yeah, well, I mean, most people maybe don't realize how hard it is to make a feature film, especially one with very little money. And, you know, filmmakers, when they get out there and they're promoting their films, they don't want to talk about the negative part of it. Mm-hmm. But it's really hard to make a feature-length film, you know, with very little money. The whole process was about 5 years from conception to now, you know, final release. So it's a real marathon that can be, stressful, especially I'm producing it as well as directing it. So there's all this paperwork I've got to deal with and, you know, contracts with people and everything. So, that side of it was crazy and difficult, but it's kind of like the harder something is, the greater the rewards too. So mm-hmm. We finished it, we got through it, and we showed it to people, and it's turning out great. People really like the film. So it's just a super rewarding endeavor. It's definitely the most rewarding thing I've ever done.
You've done the festival run, and now with Video On Demand, it's going to be everywhere. So everybody can finally see it.
Yeah, that's just amazing. I, you know, it's so hard to get a film out there and get people to see it. So the fact that we're going to be out there on multiple platforms is just amazing, and I can't wait.
So do you have a plan on what you're going to do next? I mean, do you have another movie in mind?
Yeah, James and I are hoping to do another improv feature. That's sort of the goal. We don't have anything specific yet, but we're just, you know, chatting about it. And I'm sort of continuing to make short films, which is kind of what I've been doing mostly for the last several years. I've got this kind of series of autobiographical short films that that I've been doing. And I teach film production at the University of Regina, so that's going to continue. It's a busy life.
Are you going to make everybody watch this movie every year and during your class?
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'll make them pay for it.
Yeah, part of the curriculum. Mm-hmm. So, well, I know I got to let you go. I just want to say thanks for coming by and best of luck on the sabbatical.
Yeah, thanks a lot. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Brian. Take care.
Okay, all right. Bye-bye.
There you go, guys. That was my interview with director Brian Stockton of The Sabbatical. Once again, it is on video on demand, July 13th. It's a fun indie comedy. I think you should check it out if you like character comedies. It's an enjoyable film. I didn't know that it was all improv, and finding that out was a real insight into the film. So I learned something in this interview myself, and I do a lot of research for these. So I love when you get those little tidbits from filmmakers and you find out, because it felt scripted, honestly. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of wit and a lot of clever retorts, but I assumed it was scripted. And I was pleasantly surprised to find that out. Once again, go to thesabbaticalmovie.com. It's on video on demand, July 13th. Please check it out when you get a chance. Once again, thank you for listening to the Hollywood Outsider Podcast. We try to bring you interviews with filmmakers like Brian in the world of independent cinema when we can. So I really hope you guys enjoyed this one. Remember to subscribe and review us on Apple Podcasts. We're also on Spotify, your podcast app of choice. Our normal show has a new episode every single week and is available at thehollywoodoutsider.com. This is Aaron Peterson reminding you that the next time you head into the theater or watch The Sabbatical from the comfort of your own couch, buy popcorn. We'll be right back.